From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And we begin today with state government and politics. Democrats in the Illinois House have had a veto-proof majority for several years now, what's known informally as a supermajority. And after redrawing the legislative district boundaries to be even more favorable for their members, they actually picked up several seats in this month's elections. Republicans in the Illinois House and Senate have chosen new leaders to begin in January, but Democrats are going to continue dancing with the men who brought them, so to speak. In the Illinois House, that means another term for Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch. Welch is an attorney. He lives in Hillside, Illinois, in the western suburbs of Chicago. In order to make our schedules meet, I spoke with Speaker Welch earlier this morning. Mr. Speaker, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me back.
So I want to begin with the Safety Act. This is the big criminal justice package of bills. It's been the subject of much of the political conversation in Illinois this year, specifically the provisions relating to the end of cash bail, which is slated for January 1st. There are a number of Democrats who've said there need to be changes and clarifications in the law. I know negotiations have been ongoing. Lawmakers are back in session in Springfield this week. Will there be changes to the Safety Act this week?
Brian, absolutely. We have been working since the spring. We've already passed three trailer bills into law, and we've been working since the spring on a fourth. And it is our goal to leave veto session at the end of the week, having passed that fourth trailer bill. We knew back in the spring that there were additional clarifications needed. We just ran out of time, and we're back, and we're going to continue to do the people's work, and we're going to get those clarifications to a good law enacted, and we're going to keep on doing the people's work down here.
What do you say to voters who, what they know about the Safety Act is what they saw in millions of dollars of TV commercials this fall, that this is going to, you know, have people running wild in the streets, that sort of thing? What do you say to voters who are very nervous about this change?
Well, I think people saw through the fear-mongering and the lies that were being told in those commercials. They saw that what we were saying and what advocates were saying and what the law really meant, because we did explain to the people why this is good policy. This is good policy because cash bail is an archaic system. Even state's attorneys who were opposed to it during the campaign season, ever since November 8th, are suddenly saying they agree that cash bail is an archaic system and needs to go away. It's a system that punishes the poor. If you have money, you can post it and get out of jail, even if you've been arrested and accused of murder. You know, if you are poor and your only crime is you stole food to feed your family, and you can't post bail, you're sitting in jail. That's not a just system. And we took the time to explain that to the voters. And I think by the results that you see that occurred on November 8th, the voters saw through the fear-mongering campaign and common sense prevail.
If the changes don't come together this week, will you be postponing? Will the legislature postpone the effective date of the end of cash bail beyond its current scheduled date of January 1st?
We're confident we're going to get the fourth trailer bill passed and the clarifications that are needed into law. I don't anticipate a need to postpone the start of the Safety Act, of the cash bail portion.
And probably the last question on this, do you expect any changes to be bipartisan, or do you think Democrats will go it alone on this set of changes?
Well, I will tell you this. We have been working diligently with advocates and state's attorneys and law enforcement at the table. We're going to present these changes in our committee process and then also a full vetting on the floor. I would hope that they would work with us on getting these changes into law. But if not, well, we'll be prepared to do it alone. We've done that in the past. We've tried to work with the other side. We're going to continue to try to work with the other side and hope that they come along and work with us.
You know, this gets at a general point I've been hearing from Republicans in Illinois in recent weeks, and we've spoken with both the outgoing House Minority Leader Jim Durkin and the incoming Senate Minority Leader John Curran, both of whom are sort of pleading for a seat at the table, so to speak. Democrats have enough votes to either grant or ignore those pleas. Where is your thinking on that?
Well, I think, as I've always said, even before being in leadership, we get so much more done when we work in a bipartisan way. And it's always my goal to get things done in a bipartisan way. I think it's important that we bring civility, respect, and compromise back to politics. And that's been the way I've tried to lead. You know, the Republicans are welcome at the table if they want to avoid extremes. I do think that there's some compromise to be had on both sides. We have to avoid extremes on both sides. And so I think it's important as a leader that we try to govern from the middle. And we're going to continue to try that. However, I don't believe you sit at the table with a goal of just saying no. You don't sit at the table with a goal of just trying to obstruct. You want to come to a table and try to work together to move things forward. And that invitation will always be there.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with the Speaker of the Illinois House of Representatives, Emmanuel Chris Welch. And I want to turn now to state finances. Illinois lawmakers have not had to make too many tough choices with regard to fiscal policy, at least in the past few years. And that's owing to unexpectedly high tax receipts and money support from the federal government, among other things. But now the state's budget analysts are concerned about a recession in the months to come. As you and your colleagues move to begin putting together a budget for the next fiscal year, which begins next summer, what is your general outlook?
I think the general outlook is very positive. We saw a couple of weeks ago that the five-year forecast was published, and the five-year forecast is very bright. The sun is rising again on the state of Illinois. You know, six credit upgrades in a year and a half are clearly demonstrative of that. Four balanced budgets are demonstrative of that. A surplus in our budget is a demonstrative of that. And we're going to continue to do things from a budgetary standpoint to build upon that. And I think one of the reasons Democrats did so well on November 8th is that voters saw that Democrats can be fiscally responsible. And it's our job as leaders to make sure we continue down that track.
Things are moving in the right direction, as you said, although there is this threat of a recession. But there is a tension, right, between these sort of shiny new programs that I'm sure a lot of your members want and saving money for a rainy day or paying down the massive liabilities that are still out there for pensions and other post-employment benefits like retiree health insurance. Talk about how you navigate that within the Democratic caucus.
Well, I think it's important to work within the caucus first, and that's what you see playing out on the Safety Act and many of the things that we have accomplished under my speakership. You get big things done by taking your time, being pragmatic and methodical, and working through it to build consensus. And that's, to me, that consensus starts with our caucus. We have a very diverse caucus, and I tell them all the time, diversity is our strength. However, our power comes from our unity. By the time something comes out of our caucus, we have spent a considerable time on it talking about it ourselves first. And I think that's important. We have a lot of talented people in our caucus that have great ideas. And so we flesh out those ideas. And I think we're going to continue to see that happen. I do believe in a very inclusive approach, and this is consistent with my inclusive approach. And I think you see a lot of success coming out of the House of Representatives because people feel empowered. They're comfortable speaking up and sharing their ideas. And, you know, everyone has a good idea. You just got to, you know, give them the comfort to say it.
Do you operate under a sort of majority of the majority rule? Like you won't bring, Democrats won't bring something forward unless a majority of the caucus agrees to it? And if so, what does that say about Republican chances at bipartisanship?
Well, you know, first of all, let me say this. You know, I am Speaker of the House, and I'm not Speaker of the Democrats. I'm not Speaker of the Black Caucus. I'm Speaker of the House. And my job is to lead our chamber, but I'm also the leader of our Democratic caucus. And so I have to be mindful of those roles that I have. And part of that is building consensus first amongst our caucus, because those are the ones who elect me as the leader of our caucus. And there's mechanisms that I use to do that. And working groups is one of those. And that's a tested mechanism that's been used throughout history. Even George Washington used working groups, they didn't call them working groups, but that's what he did in the American Revolution. I think it's important that you find out from your folks what their thoughts are, and then you build from there. The committee process is a very bipartisan process, and certainly when things go to the floor, the other side has an opportunity to say what they believe as well. And under that approach, we've got some big things done. We got a record historic CEJA bill passed. We got the Monumental Historic Safety Act passed. We've done some great work, and I'm looking forward to continuing to build on that.
I want to move to another topic now, which is abortion law. I saw a Republican leader quoted saying he thought pretty much everything was as legal as could be here. There wasn't much else to do. What, in your view, in the Democrats' view, is the next frontier for abortion law in Illinois?
Well, I don't know the answer to that exactly today. Our working group, which is being led by Representative Kelly Cassidy, is working to get to that point. They're going to bring recommendations to our caucus, and then we're going to flush those out, take them to the committee process, and then take them to the floor. But I can tell you, we're just a General Assembly away or a Supreme Court away from abortion rights being taken away here in Illinois. And so they are charged with bringing forth recommendations to continue to strengthen our laws here in Illinois, to make sure folks, not just in our state, but around the country, know that Illinois trusts women. And this is a place that women can come to and know that what they decide to do with their doctor will be between them and their doctor.
Could that mean a constitutional amendment that voters would be considering at the next election?
Certainly. It certainly is one of those options that's being considered by the working group. And I'm looking forward to their package of recommendations that they bring to us.
One other constitutional amendment the voters did approve is the one known as the Workers' Rights Amendment. At the same time, the last year has seen companies such as Boeing and Caterpillar and Citadel moving their headquarters out of Illinois. With this amendment passing, I wonder what you and your fellow Democrats plan to do to prevent more companies from moving to right-to-work states like Texas.
Well, hopefully, people will appear on the 21st and talk about all the great things that are happening in Illinois. Talk about the companies that are moving to Illinois and expanding in Illinois. Talk about all the tech companies that are existing here in Illinois and the growth of the Illinois economy to being one of the largest in the country. There's so many positive things to talk about our state and why our state is on the right track. People are talking about Illinois being on the right track at record levels in more than two decades. And so those are the things we need to be talking about because there's a lot of great things going on. We're going to continue to build upon that. And I do believe that being a labor friendly state, a state that says unions have rights, workers have rights, that's attractive to a whole lot of people and a whole lot of companies. And those are the folks we want to do business with.
As we're coming to the end of our time together, I want to ask about, more broadly speaking, former State Senator Darren Bailey lost the governor's race 54-42. In some places, it was a much bigger margin than that. It is a Democratic state, after all. But there are places in Illinois like Franklin County and Jefferson County and Hamilton County where he outpaced Governor Pritzker by 60 or 70 percentage points. What does the Illinois House, what will the Illinois General Assembly under Speaker Chris Welch, what is it going to accomplish for those voters?
Well, one of the things that I did over the last 2 years is traveled across the state. And in many places, folks said it's the first time they've ever seen the Speaker of the House. And we have to continue to go to those places. And we have to continue to listen to everyone in the state. If we listen long enough, we're going to find things that we do agree on. And when we do that, we're going to continue to find examples that we can work together on, and we're just going to have to continue to show people through our actions. People may doubt what you say, but they believe what you do. We're not going to convince those people overnight, but it's going to take time and consistency and examples of our actions to show them that what we're trying to do is beneficial to the whole state. Good, sound fiscal budgeting is good for the entire state, not just for Democrats or the Chicago area. It's good for those folks in that county as well. And so we have to continue to go there, talk to them, listen to them, and sometimes take their ideas and put them into law.
House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch, thank you for being with us and sharing your views today on the 21st Show.
My pleasure, Brian. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Coming up on the 21st Show, an update on the labor dispute in railroading that could yet result in a strike. Plus, it's Giving Tuesday, and we ask you to consider supporting your public radio station as we listen back to some of our favorite moments from the year. That's all coming up on the 21st Show. Stay with us.